Go Loud. Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Are you still sitting on a beanbag in your sitting room like you're 17?
Grow up and head to Right Style Furniture. They've got proper, comfy, stylish gear and they're Irish and family run too.
The house packages are class. For just €3,649, you get an electric sofa set, full dining setup, and beds with mattresses. That's a serious bang for your buck.
I got my corner sofa of them, and I haven't stood up since.
They've got locations in Font Hill, Belgard, and now Omni Park. Open every day and late on a Thursday and Friday in Font Hill and Omni.
One-stop shop for kitting out the gaff. Don't say we never looked after you.
Exactly. Right price, right style, right now.
Visit www.rightstyle.ie. And when you shop in store, tell them Terence and Calvin sent you, and they'll throw a discount on top of that as well. So get down to Roy Soil Furniture today.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in the ground. Tell your body your taste. Walk it hard and low. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Episode 262 of the Talking Bollocks podcast brought to you by Go Loud. It's me, COB.
It's me, Terry Flower.
Today we're joined by
Paul Flaherty.
Paul, how are you? Thanks for coming in.
No bother, thanks for having me, lads.
We're just saying there, the whole illusion that we're mad professional and know what we're doing, it's just after being stripped away there with the setting up.
I was expecting that anyway, you know.
You weren't expecting much, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you can go and tell your mates now, they really are, Rob.
Yeah. It's all edited.
Yeah. Paul, how's things with you? How are you keeping?
I'm doing all right, but doing all right.
Flat out training.
Training, not enough, but training some, yeah. Not as much as I'd like to. Myself and the missus does a bit of running and a bit of high rocks training.
Is the running thing new?
It's new, relatively new. I got a coach there not so long ago, so we're starting to structure our runs rather than just going for a 5K or a 10K. We found ourselves going out running and just running till we stopped.
Yeah.
But now we're on a plan and
tempo runs.
Just trying to get faster and trying to catch you up, boys.
You catch me easy. Yeah, no, clearly you don't need to lift weights anymore either. I seen him earlier on and I said, well, the plate shows you. Like a little fridge. I'd hate a dig off you.
Yeah, stop. You keep it up, you get one.
Less of that, will you? I'm not well. Anyways, Paul, you've come into us. Your son passed away.
Yeah, Killy passed away on the 21st of October, 2024.
Yeah.
Suddenly, just overnight, no fucking, well, of course.
Yeah, you can do what you want.
Nothing even leading up to this. He wasn't sick. There was just nothing to say what was going to happen. He stood at the living room door on Sunday night, laughing and joking. And the next morning, then he was gone.
Look, we're sorry for your loss. With this podcast, you want to bring us back to the start for you. Where you're from, what was life like growing up for you? And then we'll have a chat then.
Yeah, cool. So I was born and raised in Blanchardstown. It's a nice area if anybody doesn't know it.
Sorry, dear. You don't need to lie, it's all right. You can course, yeah. You can't tell lies.
Yeah. One of five kids, two brothers and two sisters. My older brother passed away back in 2011. My older sister passed away in 2013. And then I had another brother and sister. They were younger. My other brother, he passed away not so long ago as well. So we've had a tough league when it comes to losing members of your family.
A lot of grief there, yeah.
A lot of grief, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and also me wife, she's the same. She lost a brother and a sister. Right. And her father, and my father passed as well. And I had a stepfather too, he passed as well. So there's nine deaths since 2008. My father passed away in 2008. He was living in England, wasn't very close to me there, but me brought him home, we buried him. And then we put my brother and my sister in on top of him then, not long after that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was life like growing up for you?
Life wasn't too bad. I was fucked out of school, nice and early, which was probably a good thing, to be honest, because I got a job. I got a job doing the carpentry at the age of 14 or 15, and I'm still doing it now, so.
Yeah.
All the years that, I don't want to say wasted in school, but I wouldn't have learned what I learned on a site. Unless you're going to be like an accountant or that you need your school. Like, school doesn't teach you how to hang a door.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, and for some people, sitting in a classroom, it's just will not happen for them. But
yeah,
you put their hands to something and they're brilliant there.
Yeah.
Do you know they're coming away?
Thanks.
He wasn't doing the Knicks up for you,
is he? Sorting the gaff out after this podcast, yeah. But yeah, so you left school early, you went walking.
Fitness is obviously a big part of your life. Has it always been that way?
Yeah, but it wasn't fitness, it was more strength. I wanted to go to the gym and build a muscle and have the fucking, have the Terry look, you know. My missus is a PT, she's a qualified PT, and she has her own little gym. So she's the backbone of that, she drags you out. You don't want to be going, but she's like, if you don't go, you're not getting your dinner. When I was younger, I was going to the gym and lifting weights. I stopped going to the gym actually for a good few years, and then just through COVID, I went back to it. And I lost fucking 17 kilos in the last maybe 24 months. But I was always training, sort of like lifting weights. I was very strong, but I was a fat fuck. Like, I was eating chippers, eating burgers, eating chicken rolls. And then I just said, you know what? I'm going on a food plan. I went on a food plan in 16 weeks, lost 16 kilos.
Yeah,
that's some going
that. Yeah.
What age did you meet Paula?
Me and Paula together over 25 years. She only lived around the corner. She chased me for a while now, I'd say.
Must have been easy to catch.
Yeah, no, I think about 18.
Right.
Yeah, about 18 years of age.
You think about 18?
I was about...
Listen back now.
Yeah, no, 100% it was 18. And then I think about a year or so later then, she was pregnant with Cian.
Right.
Well, no, I was going to say anything. I just... The whole Paul and Paula thing, you know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, Paul and Paula.
Yeah. And then Killian and Cian as well.
Cian and Killian, yeah, yeah.
Keeping it simple. You said your missus is a PT, you're into going to the gym. Is that something then you're trying to instill in the kids?
Yeah.
So was that from like when they were young, or is it only when they became teenagers that you were like...
When they became teenagers, and when the fittest family thing came around, fuck, Paula was dragging us into the gym, you know. She had us doing the bleeding dead hangs, and the kids were, they were... But you think that the teenagers, and Cian was about 21, 22 at the time, you think they would have fucking lashed us over, like, but yeah. we were smoking.
So,
yeah.
Just so we don't get ahead of ourselves, you were going on Ireland's Fittest Families.
Yes.
So how did that come about?
So I was in work one day, and I got a link sent to me off a mate of mine, the registration thing for the Irish Fittest Family, and he says to me, he says, go on, is that training line, is that life for this, go for it. So I just forwarded on to Paulie, thought nothing of it. I'm going to go back to the gaff. Her and Killian are sitting down on the kitchen table on their laptop and they're fucking, you know, filling everything out. And it was actually Killian that actually fucking filled the whole thing out. And there's a little paragraph on it where you'd have to, so there's 15 grand for the winner. But you have to put down a little description of what you're going to do with the 15 grand. And as I said, Paula has her own little gym there. And I remember Killian writing there, we'll upgrade the equipment in the gym and all and blah, blah, blah. And he hits commit or send or whatever. And he looks, he goes, that's bollocks. We're going on a holiday. Yeah. And then a few weeks later, then Paula just sends me a screenshot of an email. Oh, no, she didn't. She rang me and said she was had to get a call off someone from Ireland to his family. And I said to myself, your man has sent me this link. This is a fucking wind up.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm saying, send me the number. So she sends me the number. I ring the number. The number never answered. I was like, this is a wind up. Got back to the house anyway. Ended up getting a call back. It was a woman called Michelle who does all the Fittest Family thing. Still wasn't convinced that I was legit. I was like, these bastards are winding me up. Eventually then they asked us to say, oh no, this is what fucked me up big time. They said, oh, will you send us a video of you and your family, just of your character or not? I was like, I'll send this video now. It'll be all over WhatsApp. It'll be, look at these fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we sent the video anyway. And then they requested a Skype call. The Keane was only after doing a bleeding job on his finger. He was in the gym and he smashed his finger.
Really?
And I was saying, oh, this is going to fuck us up now to get this spot on Ireland's Fittest Family. Then we had to do the Skype call. I said, Keane, sit on your hand because it's fucking wrapped up to bits. I said, sit on your hand and don't let them see that you're injured, like, because obviously they'll just fuck us out and move to the next family. So we did and we done the Skype call. It's good cracking the sitting room, like, and we were asked to go up to Dundalk, up to a big sports centre and do a fitness test. And we went up and there's fucking loads of people there, you know, like there's like a couple of hundred families have to go in for this, like. Anyway, you go in, it wasn't much of a fitness test. It was do a run, do a jog, do agility tests and all that kind of shit. And we do it and the families are waiting to come in, you know. There's like a conveyor belt for the whole day. We went off anyway. And then we got the call just to say, right, yous are in. I was like, happy fucking days.
And hey, were you nervous?
Yeah, well, I was and I wasn't. Our biggest thing was, I said, if we get knocked out first, we're going to be lashed out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So what happens then is, when you get accepted into that, then they send somebody out, like with a camera crew out to your house, and they interview you. And a fella came out and we were chatting out the back and all, this cunt's out the window, you know, but you're not supposed to tell anybody these things. You know, you're not, like, it's all a secret, like, oh, don't tell anybody you're on it and blah, blah, blah. So your man
telling everyone on the road.
No, it wasn't actually. No, it wasn't. Well, I was not supposed to anyway. And then we went and we done the first show. It was up in Ratbeggan Lakes or Kilbeggan Lakes, one or the other. But they put you up in a hotel now the night before.
Lovely.
Yeah, so it was only like fucking, I don't know, about 10 minutes from my house. Put us in a hotel about 20 minutes. But the opposite way, so it would have been quicker for us to go from the gaff to where we were going, but so fucking we get down. It was up in Knightsbrook Hotel.
That's where I was the weekend. That's
was
bad.
It?
Literally only there on Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, and you go in and they just give you this big box with all your jerseys on, you know, and we're up in the room trying them all. Remember opening it? We were the pink fucking colours, and Killian, oh, fucking pink. I'm not wearing pink. It's just wear the pink, you'd be grand. And they're slagging each other in the room. I was brilliant. I have to say, it was the best thing that we'd done as a family.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, we didn't know what was going to happen after that, but, like, it brings you back to, like, one of the happiest fucking...
the moments.
Yeah.
What is it, actually? I never actually sat down and watched it, because I used to look at that and be like, you'd want to be tapped to have a family that can get on board to do that. Well, every single one is agreed to do it, because, like, most families are like, there's always going to be one cunt that won't do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that was Cian. Cian, we had to actually yeah. talk Cian into that. Cian was like, oh, me bollocks, I'm not doing that. And we literally had to just zone him in, just, let's go. But then when he got there, it was great crack, running through water, climbing over walls, fucking, do you know what I mean? It's brilliant.
Yeah, I was seeing clips of it where yous were hanging.
And the boys were running.
Had to run across. Yeah. Deadly looking.
Yeah, yeah.
But it like they had to run while you were hanging.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so there was these fucking pontoons floating on the lake. And one side was like steady enough and only like one or two jumps on it. The other side was very rocky and loads of jumps. So I said, right, that Paul is going to be able to hang for longer than me. So we'd put Killian with Paula because he'd be faster than Cian. And we'd put them on the good side. On the steady side, just as well. Did you see Cian on it?
Yeah.
He was belly flopping, jumping.
He
like,
was struggling.
Oh, big time. But in his defence, that was the dodgy side.
Oh, so I thought they were the same.
No, they're not.
I know he was looking at it going, he's dope.
Yeah. Yeah. No, one side is very rocky and the other side is pretty steady like. And Killian just, boom, Killian was bolting and Cian was diving. Do you know what? It was good. Especially like when we had to watch that then, like everything was at the happening. So it put a smile on our face. We were looking at that and we were laughing about it.
See the funniest had.
Yeah, yeah. We were seeing the funny side of it like. Yeah.
Where did this come in at?
Semi-finals.
Right.
And I'm getting the fucking blame on that.
You let the side down?
Yeah. Well, apparently, but it was so... I pulled the muscle in my calf, right? And it wasn't even that bad. But it was a niggle in my calf, right? So... I went to the physio, I said, look, I've a bit of a dodgy bleeding calf here, can you rub it out for me or can you have a look? So he throws me up onto the bed and he fucking hammered me. Couldn't walk down after that. So I had to sit out of the next race. So because I was sitting out, the other family that we were up against had to put one of their sides out. And I was the strongest in my family. So obviously, like if you have a decision to put somebody out of your family, you're going to pick not the strongest person. Yeah, you know. And that family, they're fucking lovely family, they're from Cork. But they sat their mother out and I sat out and that's when we got knocked out. But I think if I'd have been there, no disrespect, John, but I think we'd have hammered you.
Yeah. Apparently it was 100%.
But then I had the defence of saying, well, it was the only race that I wasn't in and he's lost.
Yeah.
It's a valid point.
Do you know what I mean? That was my point. Who won it that year was, they were a family from Kilkenny and I knew by looking at them, these fuckers are zoned in. Like, they're doing the ice hockey and all that shit. They were fast like and they were fit and, you know, and they won it.
See, that's the thing. You might get a family where, like, all the kids are on the same guy team or they're all a group of boxers or something like that. Then it's just down to you and the missus to get the finger out.
Yeah, but you know what? You see, with that fittest family thing, like, you can be a fucking fast runner. Like, you can be really fit and not as strong. So some of them could be strength-wise. Some of them could be fast. Somebody, you know. And some of it's just dog. Like, there was the mud. What was it called? The swamp. Where you get into this yoke, ready to jump in, and it's literally, I had to put my hand down into it and lift my foot over and step like that. It was so fucking hard. But again, you looked at my missus doing that, she glided across the top of it, and she was standing on the other side waiting on us. And we were like struggling, dragging out trees, and that's what I mean about the difference of, you know, you can be fast, you can be fit, but
the disciplines,
you can be dog as well, like, you know.
You need a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Will, like.
Yeah.
What was the hardest thing you had to do on it?
I think it might have been that swamp.
Getting the boys to agree to it.
Yeah. Came to do it.
No, that swamp was very fucking tough.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very tough. But on the first episode, was that when Killian was running across the pontoons? I think it might have been, yeah. And we came, so the first person, like the first family goes fuck directly through, right? The last family goes directly out and the two middle families have a head off. So we had to do another course. And there's a big ramp you have to run up at the end and it's a good fucking 3 or 4 metres high. And we couldn't get up it. We're all small. And we couldn't fucking run up that ramp because you had to run into water.
Sounds like your fault as well now.
No. And you're soaking wet. And you're soaking wet and you're slipping because it's fucking, it's steeply.
Yeah.
And I remember just running off, this is about my third or fourth time going into it, and Donegal O'Callaghan, he was our coach, just as I got to the end, he was like, fucking speed up! And I just put the boot down, and I got up, and then Killian got up, I dragged Killian up. Once one person gets up, you're laughing,
yeah, because the rest
hang over and you can pull up. So I got Killian up, then we got Paul up, and then Keane was, he was head on head, so there was only one more to go up on the other family as well. So the two of them are like, fucking right, and I said, like, Keane, please just come, just fucking run. We ended up getting him up. There was fucking inches in it.
Yeah.
I think we stood about 2 seconds before the other family, and that's the difference, you know, like 2 seconds. Yeah. And that was the fourth show. That was the one I didn't want to lose.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as I said, it's the start.
Last place, like.
Yeah.
Does that give your family a bug then?
Oh, man, the adrenaline, the whole family spirit, proudness, just everything was just fucking, it was brilliant. Brilliant. And then the next one was down in Hell and Back, and that was a great one. We didn't get it. The Eliminator is what that other one's called, actually. We passed the Eliminator. We didn't even have to do the Eliminator. So we were going home early. We were buzzing. That would have been episode 5 where we were able to just go home early because Big Daddy came along, you know, dragged us out of the trenches.
Yeah. Yous obviously recorded that, and then that got delayed to be here, did it?
Yeah, so that gets recorded in June and July.
Yeah.
And then it was supposed to be televised on the 27th of October, which is a Sunday. And Killian passed away on the 24th, which was the Monday before that. So on the 24th was the Monday. So say on the Friday previous of that Monday, the ad came out for it. And we were on the ad. And Killian was fucking delighted. He was like, look at us. He said, when you see in the morning, there would be crowds of people out there looking for our autograph and all. So we were living the fucking dream for it. Like, that was on Friday. And then Saturday came along. Saturday morning, he went out and played a football match and was fucking brand new. Sunday, he was out buzzing around. And then on Monday then, on the Sunday, me and his man were out having something to eat and he rang. He was mad for Revolut. Ann and Revolut. And he used to just put money in for him. And we gave him money for the Revolut. He was going to go to the pictures with his missus. And I put the money in the Revolut, and then he rang me, oh, they won't let us in, it's over 18th. I says, all right, we'll go get a McDonald's or something. But he came back to the house, and he was fine, him and his girlfriend, they were fine. As I said, they were only 15, but they were madly in love, them two little fuckers. He came back to the house, he was in the gaff, about 9:30, chatting away, laughing and joking. And his girlfriend's ma came down to collect her. She went, he stayed in the sitting room for another few minutes, and then he said he was going to bed. And I just said, right, I'll wake up for school in the morning. So obviously we went to bed and woke up the next morning. And I remember 5 to 8, I remember going into the room and just, Killian was dead, man. And I just fucking screamed, Paula! She leapt out of bed, ran in only as far as the door, seeing what was going on. And she just ran down the stairs and out the door. Her ma lives next door. She ran in there. She was banging on the door. I'm still in the house. I remember running in to my room to grab my phone to ring an ambulance. I ran back into the room and I was just talking to the emergency services on the phone. I said, he's not breathing. At that point, Paula and her family was back. Our ma, our sister, our brother. Our brother came running in and he was like, and I fucking grabbed him. Like, fuck the mess. Give it over, like, stop fucking shaking him like that. Like, the emergency service on the phone says, get him out of bed, take him out of bed. So 3 or 4 of us just lifted him out of bed. I knew straight away, he was stiff, like. Put him on the floor, put me on loudspeaker. He said, clear the room. He said, keep one more person in the room with you. So we fucked everybody out, and me and her sister sat in the room. And he's lying on the floor, and he says, now I want you to count, you want to get fucking... You want 2 beats every second. I need you to count to four, like one, two, three, four. And I'm trying to keep this rhythm going and count at the same time. And I stopped counting. And he's like, I can't hear you counting. And I was like, I'm doing the beats, but I can't keep the counting and the beating. And I said, it's not registering, but I'm doing the beats. He said, right, just keep doing what you're doing. I was doing that for a few minutes before the emergency services actually came. I remember just keep doing it on the floor. They came in the door, they told me not to stop. They said, keep doing it. One of the firemen got down on his knees right beside me. And he said, right, on your next beat, just take your hand away. And I done that, took my hand away, and he went straight in. And then we were told to leave the room. Went into the bedroom. And I was there with my missus. The police and all are there and all at this time. And they were told to go downstairs. Went downstairs. And then at that point then, the whole road was full of people. Because it was, as I said, that was 8 o'clock in the morning. So school, you know, not long after that, everybody's going to school. Everybody from the school stopped. Don't think anybody went to school that day. I got a call off the principal from Killian School saying, I'm hearing these terrible fucking stories. What's going on? And I said, yeah. But he kept saying, what's going on? I want you to tell me. I want you to tell me. I was like, what do you want me to tell you? He said, I want to hear it out of your mouth. I said, Killian's passed away, man. And he just says, hey. He says, all right, that's what I'm going to hear. And then we're in the sitting room and the fireman comes down the stairs with the doctor or with the whoever it was. And he just came in and he shut the door and he just says, there's nothing we can do. It's been a couple of hours and there's nothing we can do. And at that point, I was still like, what the fuck? Like, you're probably not even crying at this point because you're like,
in shock.
What the fuck is going on here? Like, you're looking out the window. There's gangs. And I mean, gangs of people. Like, the lads that, like, I pal around with, like, all heard it. And they're all in work. They all left work. The next few days after that was just fucking carnage, man. Carnage. Family in the house. Like, neighbours. Just madness. Like, the amount of people that turned up, like, there was hundreds at the funeral. Like, when we left the house, right, we came out of the house, we put them in a horse and carriage, and we went around the estate. And the amount of people that was behind, like, there was fucking gangs and gangs, right? So we came out of the estate, and we went up the back way, and the back road there is at the back of his school. The whole school then was out on that road, right? Somebody brought a radio with them. And the tunes were kicking on the way up just to try, because he was so young. Like, the amount of young people, I didn't know there was that many 15, 16 year olds around. There was fucking gangs of them. We go up the road anyway, you go up to the top of the road and you come to the traffic lights there, and we're going left for the church. And when we got to the traffic lights, each side of that road was just lined with people. It was like a fucking celebrity's funeral. It was madness. The Sunday World was there taking pictures, and the Fittest Family people were there. Not all of them, but some of the people were there from the Fittest Family. You go in, you have the funeral. I wasn't going to go up and say anything because I didn't think I would have been able to. So the football coach got up and he was just saying a few things, and I just got the urge to get up. And I just got up and I just started chatting away, just trying to, like, just saying how much we were going to miss him, but also trying to lift the, you know, might have been the nerves again, but, you know, telling a couple of, like, funny stories of what he was like. And then we left and everybody went back. There was a pub there in Blanchetown Village where we arranged to go back, but we went back, and me and the missus were only there for an hour. I was like, I'm getting out of here, like, I want to go. So we went, and like, the weeks and months after that were just fucking devastating. Like the grief, I thought I had grief over the previous stuff, but the grief that sets in, like, it takes over your brain. Like, your brain, like, thinks weird stuff. Like, you're always thinking of, like, just that bad stuff is going to happen to you, and it's going to happen to people around you, and you just, like, everything is just, it's just a fucking horrible way, like. And the way we sort of tried to get ourselves through that was the fitness, the running, the training, anything just to take your mind off things, like.
Yeah, it is. It's such a unnatural thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be you better your parents, not the opposite way around.
That's the way it should be, you know? And I still have to do that. We still have to do that. So our burying days are not over. And it's just, some days you're grand, some days you're like, oh yeah, we're strong, we'll get through this, you know, we'll get through this. Other days you're saying to yourself, what the fuck is that? What did I do wrong in order to achieve this fucking lifestyle with everybody, passing away and all? And then on another day, you'd say, you've done nothing fucking wrong. You know, you didn't do anything wrong. We tried our best with our kids. You know, they got a great upbringing. Like the 15 years that Killian had on this earth, they were 15 good years. He's been on more holidays than, some adults. He was always away. He used to give out, just going, oh, I'm not going away again, am I?
Another holiday.
Yeah. You know, but he was he was a great little lad, he was a fucking, he was only 15, but as I said, he had a mind of a 20-odd-year-old, and sometimes you do something wrong, right, and you give out to him, and he wouldn't give you back cheek. He'd be like, all right, and he'd be like, you're not even listening to me, do you know, because he'd be just agreeing with you. And then he said, oh, if I answer you back, you give out to me. If I don't answer you back, you give out to me. He said, I can't win. Yeah, you know what I mean? I can't win. And I used to be not hard on him, but I used to be not letting him do, he used to be in for 10 o'clock. You're not allowed vape. You're not getting a fucking, he was looking for one of these Saurons, you know, the electric bikes. I said, you're not getting one of them. I said, they're too fucking fast, they're dangerous. And, you know, I feel guilty over that. Well, I did feel guilty over that. You know, I should have gotten one of them, you know. But but I was right not to.
Yeah.
Because you've seen what happens with them nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. So even though we haven't got anything to feel guilty over, you'll find something.
Yeah.
You'll find something to be guilty over. Yeah. Even though it was right at the time.
Yeah, it's just your mind trying to trick you, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, say, oh, maybe I should have...
No. Yeah, maybe I should have let him fucking have a vape. Maybe I should have let him drive around the Scrambler. Do you know what I mean?
Sounds like you did a really good job.
Yeah.
So he passed away on the 21st, and then I'd imagine then all the days after that, as you were saying, they were all a blur and carnage. Does the Fittest family still here on the 27th?
No. So the Fittest family... So that's how it became a big thing with Killian as well. How it was all over the news and all, because the Fittest family cancelled it.
Over this?
Yeah. They said, no, we won't air this, because that was actually the day of Killian's funeral. It was supposed to air. So they said, no, we won't fucking air it. You know, we'll cancel it. So they cancelled it, became on the news why it was cancelled. You know, young lad, 15, passed away suddenly. Fittest family has cancelled the show. For now. And eventually it went out. It went out in January. It went out in January 25th. And so we go away every Christmas, right? It's been maybe 5 or 6 years since I spent the New Year in Dublin. And we were going to Thailand for that Christmas. Not Christmas Day. We were going on the 26th or the 27th.
Mm.
We were like, what the fuck do we do now? And I just said, look, we'll go. What's the point of not going? See here, looking out the window, and everybody having a great time, and us up to the eyes in grief and tears, and I'd rather be crying over there than crying here. So we went over, and when we were coming back, our episode was being shown on the telly. And I remember being in the Doha airport, it was a connecting flight, and the Instagram was banging, everybody tagging you, because it was on that night, everybody tagging you, and we're sitting around the airport, around one phone, me, Paula, Keane and Heidi, looking at it, phones binging all over the shop, everybody tagging it on Instagram. It was very, very sad to watch that. So before they showed it, the Fittest family asked us to go into the, not even RT studios, they have other studios in town, Animal. So we went in there and we watched the 3 episodes and we were in fucking tears. But it was also, it's great to have.
Mm,
it's great to have, you know. Not everybody gets to make a TV show with their kids.
Yeah.
And not everybody that loses somebody actually has something like that to look back on.
Yeah.
We still haven't actually watched that properly.
Right.
You know?
It must be nice for you as well, because you'll remember all you said, how much fun you had as a family down there.
Great fun, man. We had great fun doing that. It was, as I said, it was probably the best thing as a family that we done. Obviously Heidi wasn't in it with us, but because she's too young, you have to be 14, and there's only 4 people allowed as well.
She wouldn't have made the cut.
She might have rang Kane.
Yeah.
But and then we were in the Doha airport watching our phones banging, and that was our first episode. Got home then, obviously we got through that one, but it was, as I said, it was nail biting stuff that was really, really close. So we get through to the quarterfinals, and what we done was we got a big screen then in Whitestown in our area. We put it in, one of her friends lives right beside a field, so we put it in her garden. Big massive screen, man, it was fucking huge, like the width of that wall out there. And a load of people came around and stood on the green and watched it. Brilliant.
And you was not told anyone the result?
We weren't allowed, no. And in between these episodes, so we get through into the quarter final, right? And you're still not allowed to even tell anybody that you're on it, never mind the result. Next of all, Donegal O'Callaghan comes out to the house, right? And he's a big fucker, like size of that door. And he has us out in the garden, fucking doing a tug of war. And he brings us up to the top of the field and he has us playing rugby. Right? And I'm like, you're telling us not to tell anybody we're on this show. You're standing in the middle of the field like a blatant goalpost. Like you're, and there's people walking by, you bastards on the fittest family.
Yeah. And did Ireland's fittest family bring you in that time to watch the episodes to make sure you were okay with the episode?
Yeah, so they were like, right, come here, this is your call. If you want us to pull the show, we will. Like, Ireland's fittest family and Animo is the ones who make it.
The production company.
Yeah, yeah. So they get given, like, the few bob from RTE or whatever, they get given a budget, they make it and they just give it back.
Yeah.
They were really, really good. Like, they kept in contact with us all the time. And the guy that owns Animo, his sister owns a company that deals with younger children that's going through grief. And he put her onto us. And she's actually still with us for Heidi. Heidi loves her. She comes out to the gaff and makes a few, like, little ornaments, paints them. And all, you know, it's play therapy, like, but Heidi loves it. Heidi's like, when's Tara come back out? Like, I couldn't say enough.
Yeah, fair play.
Yeah, for them, for doing that. You know, they were ringing us, like, they need anything, you know, we'll let us know if there's anything we can do, we'll sort it out for you.
Paul, would it be right in saying that you and your missus done the High Rocks in November?
Yeah.
That year?
We had it booked, right? And obviously that happened then in October, and in November came around, and we had singles booked. So I went and I done it on the Saturday and I got a fucking great time. I got 1:16, it was my best time. It was my only singles actually. And then we got a doubles ticket off somebody else then. They give us a double ticket for the Sunday. And me and my missus done it on the Sunday as well. I don't know whether we were just in overdrive or what happened or how we even got to do it, the state we were in. But we got through it.
Because that would only be in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks. I done it on the Saturday and then done it on the Sunday as well. In a jocker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take it. Fitness is so engraved in you, so you nearly torn to fitness with the grief.
Yeah, and then you know what? I was very sad then it was that actually that way you're talking about, because Heidi and Keane came into that as well, and we ended up getting a picture of standing under the TV with a time on it. And it was only four of us, like. So I cropped a little picture of Killian into that. And it was just sad looking at that, like. And then, you know what, like, not long after that again, like, right, so I know these plant medicines are a good healer. They're great for grief and trauma. No, they're not for everybody, but, like, I always knew about them, but I never had the balls to do them. Do you know what I mean? So me and the missus went up. Now, this was still very soon afterwards as well. This was in December. This was maybe the start of December. We went up to do a psilocybin retreat. Right, it was just the two of us, like, and this other guy. And, like, they're psychedelics. And I just lay down. You get blindfolded and I lay down. And it worked for me. I was in the fucking journey, like, about an hour into it. I could hear her talking to the other guy that was serving it. And I lifted up my mask. I said, "Are you all right?" She goes, "Yeah, I'm grand. And I just go back down then. And then I heard him talking again. And I lifted up my mask. I said, "Are you all right?" She goes, "It didn't work on me." And I was in the fucking depths of it, like. But when she told me that, it snapped me out of it, you know? It snapped me out of it, and it only lasted about an hour and a half, I think. And I remember finishing that up, and just on the way home, me and her just cried all the way home. And I googled why it didn't work on her. And her brain and her, our psyche just didn't let it work. Your psyche is so fucking powerful, it can stop this stuff. So then after that, there was another thing I heard of years ago, which again hadn't got the balls to do. It was a thing called ayahuasca. And I booked to do the ayahuasca and she wouldn't come up with me. I went up on my own. And I drank ayahuasca for 2 days. And after the 2 days, I remember her saying to you, man, that was like 20 years of therapy in 2 days. It was unbelievable. Like when I do that stuff, like I tremble, my body vibrates like. But after, man, I feel a lot better. I can focus on stuff. It helped me get back to work. Like, I gave up work for about 6 months. Right. Like, 6 months went, and I was only, like, I'd probably done about 4 days in 6 months just to try get a few bob in to get the bills paid. But I was going to work, and I just couldn't focus. I was leaving for 10 o'clock. Mm. Leaving for 10 o'clock. And after that fucking fourth ceremony,
yeah,
man, I was back and work in about a week. And getting it done.
Yeah.
It's like as if it lifted a weight, an emotional weight. That's what they say. It's not a weight that will show on a scale, but when you lift your emotional weight, even the running goes through the roof because it releases all the... Apparently you carry trauma in your back and in your lower back and all. People get sore backs and stuff like that. You release a lot of pain, like physical pain as well, by just releasing your trauma like that.
Mm. And that what... Brian Penny always says the body keeps the score. Yeah. So you think, all right, I'm over or something, but it's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
What did they put the cause of Killian's death down to?
So, when Killian was laid out in the sitting room, I went out to the garden for a few minutes just to get my head together, and there was a young fella out there. He was a little bit older than Killian. He was about 20, 21, and he was just chatting to me. And he said to me, what was it? One of them jellies, right? And I was like, this is the first time I was ever after hearing like that. I said, what jellies? He says, all I heard, he took one of them jellies. And I was like, fucking jellies is that? So over a couple of days went by, I said it to a mate of mine. I said, somebody said jelly. He says, yeah, I heard that as well. So a story went around that he was out there eating one of these jellies, right? One of these fucking weed jellies or whatever they are, right? So while we're waiting on the result to come back, that's all that's in my brain. It was 6 months before we got a result, and we're thinking, is he after taking something? Like, did he take something before he went to bed? And this story went around Blanchardstown, Cabra. Somebody from Cabra said it to me, and like an older lad, same age as me, he said that's what he heard. So for 6 months we're wondering, did he fucking take something? But then we're saying to ourselves, he sat in the living room with us the night before, and I don't know him.
Yeah.
If he took something. 6 months went by and we get the results come back, which is SADS, which is sudden anorhythmic death syndrome. So they reckon it was an anorhythmia, like a heart attack, right? Now, when we heard that, or when we got that result, we were automatically sent for tests for ourselves. So me, Paula, Keane and Heidi had to go into the hearts clinic in the Mater Hospital. And they just give us like one of these monitors for 24, it's like an ECG for 24 hours, right? So we do that, we bring it back after the 24 hours, and then we go in for the results then a few weeks later, and they're saying, oh yeah, everything is okay. Well, we are also going in for an Agmaline, or I don't know whether I'm pronouncing that properly, but me and her are doing an Agmaline test in April, in the next fucking week or two, is where they put you on a drip, and they put your heart under pressure, and it's only for 10 or 15 minutes under supervision by a doctor. They'll give you this drip. I think it blocks like sodium going to your bloodstream or whatever it is. But it puts your heart under pressure, and they know whether you have a heart condition or not through this. Mm. And if you do have a heart condition, it's called Brugada. Yeah, it's called Brugada syndrome. Now, they can't say that Killian had that. I was talking to the cardiac doctor. The cardiac doctor said, look, we've tested everything apart from his heart because his heart was stopped, so we couldn't test his heart. But everything else was fine. The muscles around his heart, everything was grand. They said, there is one more test we can do, but we need you to sign off on it. We need to request blood from the bio lab in the Mater, and we'll send it off to Spain. And they tested for 220 variants or something like that, like any discrepancies in it or whatever. So we just signed the form and said, yeah, send it away. That was sent away. The results came back, and there's nothing to say why this happened. And I remember the doctor saying to me, everything about this is very like all the results are fine. There's no reason why this could have happened. And SADS is a diagnosis when they don't know what happened.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Any time I've ever heard of that, and it's usually with fit younglets, people playing football, and they just drop dead on the spot.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to. And that's why they start putting defibrillators in all the clubs and all on pitches then, because that kept happening.
Yeah, I know. If that had happened on a football pitch, he probably could have been saved.
Yeah.
Mm. But it happened in his sleep. And I asked the doctor, I remember as well, I said, would he have struggled? And he said, no, some people put the S in SADS for silent rather than sudden. Because we do think, like, we usually get up at, like, 5:15. Well, at that time, we were getting up at 5:15 and going into the gym for 5:45. And we'd open the door and because of Heidi, you see, we used to leave Killian in the gaff with Heidi while we went into the gym. And we'd open the door and we'd just fucking peek our head in. But that morning, we said, fuck it, we won't go to the gym. You know, we'd say, we'll just leave it. So Paul would just be like, oh, I should have went to the gym. I would have opened the door. I would have fucking, you know.
Mm. Were you able to put a time frame on it?
No, but they said a couple of hours because of the rigor mortis and all was set in, which is the... No, they weren't able to put like a specific time, but it was at least a few hours. And he went to bed at maybe 10 o'clock. He texted his girlfriend at 10:45 to say he was going asleep. So it was between then, it was 10:45 and could be like 3 or 4 o'clock, whenever, it could be fucking 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just to see, like, to, like, that's what I mean. Like, to see these, like, it's all well and good, those getting tested, right, afterwards. There should be a thing, especially in football clubs and stuff like that, where they should test kids for this. It should be, like, even in,
sorry, yeah,
even in schools. Mm. Do you know what I mean? You used to give you the ECGs in your arm and all. You know, in school you used to get that. Should be done like that in school, because it's happening an awful lot these days.
Mm.
Like, since that happened to Killian, it's on your radar.
Yeah.
And you see more and more of it happening, of young kids just not waking up.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if we got tested before this happened, would that have prevented this happening?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's why with football clubs, schools mainly, because...
All kids go to school. Yeah. All kids play football.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We seen the video though. You mentioned that you did the High Rocks in the November of the year that you passed away.
Yeah.
But we seen the video that High Rocks posted of the one in November gone.
25.
That was a beautiful video.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Right, so we go. So my missus gets these t-shirts made up for anything we do, like runs, High Rocks, whatever it may be. She always gets something made up with a message on it. So we get these t-shirts made up anyway, and we're running around. And Paul is very clued in. She should have been a detective. Telling you, she cops.
Was she from Blanche?
She cops everything. Yeah. But she cops everything. And she said to me, she said, that woman there is at every station we get to. And I was like, nah, you're just fucking paranoid. Like, she's not, she's grand, you know. And we're running around. She says, there she is again. I says, nah, she's grand. And then we come through the finish line, and the woman is there, and she comes directly over to us. She's like, how are you? I seen you as a message on you as a t-shirt, and I'm after being recording you on every station. Would you mind giving us an interview, and I'll do up a little reel, like, I'll post it.
I was like, yeah, fucking right. Bit of fame, you know what I mean?
So I just give a few words, like, yeah, and they made that reel, and they posted it on their the High Rocks page the next day. And everybody was tagging me in it, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, because my message was going beep, 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 beep. And I opened it up and there it was. It was like, and that was very emotional as well. I was on the way down to Trim to collect some doors when I opened it up, and I was just pulling into your man's yard, and I was fucking ended up crying looking at it.
Mm.
And then your man is coming out, and I'm like, oh, give us a minute.
Yeah. So that was off the cuff, was it? Did she just put you on the spot?
Yeah.
Because beautiful, you didn't really think that you had a plan to say that.
Yeah, no. That was just, she just come up and said, do you mind giving us a few words? We're at the being looking at it. And I was actually glad that that happened, because it let people know more. What I want to do is I want to keep Killian's memory alive.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? He only spent 15 short years on this planet, and I want to carry him like through. That's why I have this badge on here. I wear this badge every single day. There's not a t-shirt that I put on without one of them on it.
Yeah.
Like, I'd give them to people. We're going to runs, I'd put a handful of them in pockets. I'd get them made up, and I'd just be giving them to strangers at the run half marathons and all. I'd be like, yeah, put that on you. He'll keep you safe. And they'd be all like, oh yeah, happy days. But a lot of people would remember it from the Fittest family. They'd be like, that's the little guy from the Fittest family.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But I wanted to get out as well about that story about the weed jelly that's going around.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And there was another thing, like, he'd done something to himself as well.
Yeah.
It was absolute natural. It was like one, it's a very rare thing. Like for it just to happen like that. It's not something that happens every day. I know it's happening a lot more now. And then there was other fuckers then, you know. Because it was in the papers and it was on Facebook and it was on these news articles and there's 200-300 comments on it. And there's people writing, oh, he must have got the vaccine and all. And
yeah.
There was nothing like that. It was just...
You just always hear horror, like people spreading their stories.
Yeah.
In so many different situations. You're just like, if you don't know, stop talking about it.
Yeah.
As if you're not going through enough as there is.
I know. And I can sort of, like, oh yeah, I'm a fucker for going in for the comments. I love going in for the crack reading, but when I was that, I wasn't going in. But my missus is a bit, she wants to see, you know, she wants to.
Yeah.
And then she's annoyed over it. And, you know, there's people like leaving emojis of syringes, like.
Yeah.
Vaccine, obviously, but
yeah.
She's taking it up the wrong way as if he's had to be on the bleeding
stuff.
On the heroin or whatever, you know.
Oh my God, it's a sensitive thing. Why are people even commenting? But
it's just people like to get the attention. Like people, other people to be giving out to them about that. But that's what they're doing it for.
100%. They're sad, you know, bastards.
That's what they're doing it for.
Sad cunts, like.
Yeah.
So you and your missus, you've done a few High Rocks events.
Yeah, we've done a few. Yeah, we done the two in Dublin. I didn't get a ticket. It's a cunt to get a ticket for Dublin.
What are you telling?
Oh, stop.
Sean Noble can't even get a ticket.
Who's that? No, Sean Noble's a beast.
Yeah. But it's not just High Rocks, you still runs as well.
Yeah, we do a bit of that and that's gone. Like my you wake up in the morning, she's at the booking for a half marathon. It's on next Saturday.
You're like, what?
Yeah, she loves to put us under pressure. At one point I remember looking at the things we had booked and I was like, for fuck's sake, in the next 4 weeks, two half marathons. High Rocks, and I was supposed to do a white collar boxing, like that got cancelled, thank God. That was all in 4 weeks, like four events every weekend. I was like, fucking broke up.
Yeah, you were saying you did the marathon together as well.
Well, we done half of it together.
Yeah.
She left me then for the second half.
She said, at the 20 something K, she just took
she
off.
She done a runner. Yeah. I knew she wanted it. I gave her my blessing.
That's that what
I wanted. Yeah, I said, go on, you can head on if you want. And she just took off.
Well, you wear the t-shirts like Killian in all these events.
Yeah.
Do you find it helps you with the grief?
Yeah, so you know what, I went, right, 100% it helps with the grief, right, but, like, people say the running is great for your head, right, and when I'm running, my head is going overtime, I'm thinking of everything while I'm running, do you know what I mean, like, it's good to get out, and I don't know if it releases, like, anxiety or anger or whatever, but it definitely gives you a lot more time to think.
Mm. Yeah.
So, what I did do was, I went and I done a couple of boxing sessions, and when you're hitting that bag, you're not thinking of anything, do you know what I mean? And I remember the boxing coach saying it to me, he says, yeah, it's all good, like out running. He said, but your head is still going.
Yeah.
He said, you banging that bag for the last hour. He said, but you're thinking of it. And you know what? That was the day it clicked with me. I fucking wasn't.
Mm.
You know?
So there's a release day for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've done a few memorial runs as well.
We done one. So every year there's a memorial run in the park, right? But for Killian's first birthday away from home, we done a 5K in the Harstown Park. And Chris Connolly came up with us. And it was a great day. There was a fucking lot of people turned out. And we were, on that morning, I was nervous. It was like the funeral day again. Worried if anybody's going to show up. Like, are we going to be up there on our own? How many people's going to be there? Do you know what I mean? But we got there anyway. We got Cian to set up the decks in the park. One of the neighbours threw a lead over the wall. We set up a little table, got a load of water and a few fucking full-filled bars and what have you. And about 400 or 500 people showed up. It was fucking great.
It's amazing, yeah.
It was great. And because when that happened, I was thinking, always to do it every year for his birthday's on the 23rd of June. And I'd like to do it again this year and every year.
Yeah.
Do you know? Because the show, like that we got that time, the turnout, geez, if we could even match that, it'd be great. Do you know? But it'd be great to get more people, because a lot of people couldn't show up because they had things on. And,
of course, yeah.
You know, but maybe they might be able to show up to this one.
So 23rd of June.
No, 23rd of June is his birthday, so I'm not sure what day that lands on. That's on a Saturday, I think that is. But what I did do was, the last time, I put out a video. It was actually the first video I'd ever done and put on Instagram. And it got a lot of views. There was, like, I'm not sure how many, but thousands of people seeing it. And that's how people showed up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do another video. When I do that video, I'll have the date and all. I probably should have had the date ready for this, shouldn't I?
Nah, because what we'll do is we'll get your Instagram handle and your stuff and put it in the descriptions and we'll tag you on. So anybody who's listening to this now, make sure you're clicking onto his page, give him a follow, make sure you're looking out for that video. And join us on the run, because we're obviously going to be there as well. Now we're dragged into it, I suppose.
Just ask.
Just going to tell us.
I'm glad you're here, not Paul.
You'll be getting headlocked out that door.
But all your Instagram handle and all be there. So head over and follow his page and keep your eye out for the video that's coming, so you'll know what date.
Have you got Kane and Heidi on board with more fitness stuff since?
Yeah, so Kane got himself together. Kane, he went on a food plan as well. And he got himself into great shape.
Yeah, he got into good
shape. Yeah. But you see, with older people like me, right? Like, I go to work and then I have time to go to the gym or whatever. But Kane is young and he likes going around. He has a woman and he DJs on the weekend. Now, he doesn't really drink. Mm. He very rarely drinks. So I think he goes to the gym twice a week, or else he's just fucking telling me lies.
Yeah.
He might go in and take a picture and leave.
Yeah.
But Heidi's into the horse riding. She loves the horse riding.
Yeah.
She's only in it now the last maybe 3 months, but she fucking loves it.
Yeah, no, because I think it's something that you need to kind of instill in kids without make them think it's a chore, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's let them know, my young one's mad into football and I'm trying to, she does football and swimming. And I'm trying to explain to her, see, when you're swimming, they don't fucking 50 metre lengths and all. I was like, she's 10 down 50 metre lengths. And I'm
savage.
That can't be legal.
Savage.
You know I mean? I was looking at her. And sometimes, they'd swim up with a board between their legs, so they're using their arms. And then on the way back, they'd swim up with the board, folded across their chest, so they're only using their legs. I was like, surely, someone come in here and report this. This
isn't going to be gone. Yeah, that's fucking child abuse.
Yeah. I'd be trying to say to her, because she's mad at the football, I'm like, see that fitness you're getting now, you can run faster, you're stronger than whoever you're marking, and then you can last longer. You know what I mean? Whereas when she's doing it, she's like, I'm shattered, I want to go home, this, that, and I'm like, yeah, but you need to realise this is making you better.
100%,
yeah. You know what I mean? So you need to drill it into kids that this is not a chore. Don't just go out there, and as you said, it follows you later on in life. You don't just go out there and just keep running and get tired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a plan.
You have to get the plan together. You
need to get the kids more active, I think.
Well, especially nowadays, because there's so many options to not be out running around the way all of us would have been running around like headless chickens, I mean.
Yeah, we were climbing trees, running for all kids now are betting the phones.
I remember coming in with pains in my legs.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be out that long, your legs be killing
you.
Because you're just doing stupid shit. We were talking about before, dropping off balconies and all. Why would you be doing that?
Ankles in a heap.
You're running away on knees, I fuck now, huh?
But it's down to us to get the kids out. You know what I mean? And I love the fact that you said that as a family.
Yeah.
We're looking at doing something. I have three younger brothers. We're looking at doing something together, the four of us. You know what I mean? Because now I hope my man dad's going to be doing it with us.
The registration is out for the fittest family. Get on it, mate.
Is it back?
Yeah.
Will we be allowed to, or do you have to have parents in it?
No, there has to be one female at least.
Right. Mm. Put a wig on, Jesse.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to plug, Paul, while you're here?
My thing coming on here today was, number one, was to let people know how easy it is for this shit to happen, you know? What we done was we waited till something happened till we went and then...
Use ourselves checked.
Yeah. Where, people should go and get themselves checked. I Googled it, right, of symptoms of it. And symptoms could be, after exercising, you could feel dizzy, or if you faint, frequently, or, if you get dizzy spells and stuff like that. Now, sometimes that happens to everybody. That happens to us all. And we all just brush it off. Do you know what I mean? But for the sake of one day or one appointment to make, it could be life-changing for you.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know at the time. We only know now how important it is to address something or even look for something that's hopefully not there. But if it is there, it gives you time to tackle it.
Yeah. And I suppose with kids as well, you might be grand, but there might be something on your missus' side of the family.
Exactly.
That they're not aware of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, nothing ever happened like this in our family before. You know, as I said, we've lost people in the family, but it wasn't down to, just going to bed and not waking up, you know?
Mm.
It was just fucking, it's devastating and it'd be nice if this interview, would entice at least one person to go out and get checked. All you have to do is ring the family heart clinic and make an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they even do it for free. Mm. I think it's a free service.
Mm-hmm. We're always telling people to go and get the full NCT.
Yeah.
Yeah, and every single time I had this exact statement, people reach out to me every single time. Where did you get it done?
Yeah.
How do you go about it?
Yeah.
And I know what's going to happen again.
The family heart clinic. The family heart clinic. All you have to do is go to get the number.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Or get your doctor, you know, somebody'll get a referral for you.
Yeah.
There's another thing out there, right, called the Dylan Quirk Foundation. I think he was a GAA player or a hoarder or something like that.
Name rings a bell, yeah.
But he died on a football pitch, right? And they got a foundation together under his name. I think I'm nearly correct in saying this, right? They got a foundation together in his name and they go out doing the testing. Now, I got a call from one of the girls out of Fittest Family there just before the 25 season started, just to tell me that they contacted the Fittest Family to tell them that all the families that's participating in 2025's episodes are more than welcome to go down there and get their full NCT, as you call it. You know, so you could Google Dylan Quirk and they'll help you. There's a lot of people out there that can help you.
Yeah, there's a quick Google will show you the places to go. We've got it done and we've got the full NCT and come on and talked about it and all, but I don't even think we realised at the time how many people then reach back out and where do we get this, especially for men.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not even men like fucking our age, like we've kids and all now. I'm talking like young men, like 23-year-olds. How do you go about that? And I know we call it NCT as a joke. It's full health screening, I think, is the actual proper term. But it's not something that's broadcast enough to you. You know what I mean? Go and get this checked. But they give you an ESG.
ECG.
They give you a full ECG. They do your bloods. I think they check your lung capacity.
Lung capacity,
and all. Everything, mate. You know what I mean?
But even the day of it is kind of a bit shit. You're kind of leaving like, what was that all about? Your bloods and all.
Yeah.
But then they sent me out a big poly pocket foil of everything about my heart, my lungs,
and anything. All working good.
They highlight anything that needs further addressing then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As well, the ash are going in. It's an anything that you're concerned about. So you can be like, oh, jeez, like, whatever. Pain down here, or this doesn't feel right. So they'll zone in on that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get it all done. And then as you get older, obviously older men develop different problems to younger men. So they know, right, you're in this age bracket. This is your lifestyle. We're looking to this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like prostates and shit like that.
But even with them ECGs, right, you can go, like, every time you go down to the hospital, you get an ECG, right? But with the Agilane test that we're doing, it actually goes and makes your heart
beat a certain way.
Yeah. And makes it try go, like, not the way it's supposed to go. It puts it under pressure. So that's, look, I'm nervous going in for this because I don't want to feel like I'm going to fucking die.
Yeah.
But I know I'm in the right place to get it done because if anything is going to go wrong.
Exactly. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, Paul, look, thanks very much for coming in today.
Yeah.
I know it's obviously a hard story for you to tell, but you told it brilliantly. And yeah, well, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks very much for having me, lads.
Yeah, I know this is something we've been trying to get done for a couple of months now.
Yeah.
Obviously, I wanted to wait for Terrence to come back before, you know,
before
we got it done. But I think there will be people out there whose eyes will be open to.
Yeah.
Although it's rare.
Yeah,
it can happen.
It can happen. Yeah. It can happen. You know, it happens overnight.
Mm.
Our lives are turned upside down overnight.
All right, sorry.
Wrap it up.
All right, take us out, Siobhan.
Boom.
That's us for this week, and thanks to the legends at Roy Style Furniture for supporting the podcast.
Speaking of great support, see what I did there? Roy Style has everything, and I mean everything. Sofa sorted, beds covered, dining table, 6 chairs, boom. All in one house package. Plus the lads in the store are sound. They're not pushy, just helpful. And if you're an online shopper, no problem.
Visit www.roystyle.ie and when you shop in store, tell them that the two boys from the podcast sent you and they'll throw you in a little discount.
Don't sleep on this deal, unless it's on one of their mattresses, in which case, fair play.
So get down and get the gaff sorted. Right price, right style, right now.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app. What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your weight in it now. Fill your body up. Work it hard and low. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, and so should your loan rate. CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.99% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR car, 6.5% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.